You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter Anthony DiComo. I am not a soft factors guy. I don't think you are a big soft factors guy either. But with that said, how big a deal is this series this weekend? I know the Nats are not at the top of the division, but there's no question they're the team to beat. Mets have their rotation lined up. How big a deal is this series at Citi Field this weekend?
Well, it is a pretty big deal for an April series, and I'm not even sure that you could consider that soft factors. I mean, these games count, and the Mets have said it a million times. Terry Collins has said it a million times. If they want to get to where they ultimately want to be this year, they're going to need to beat the Nationals. I know the Nationals have been off to a bad start, but they're playing a little better lately. And if the Mets go back home to Citi Field and drop 3 of 4, all of a sudden that nice little early division lead they built is not gone, but the division gets a lot tighter, and you're no longer looking at a situation where the Mets could maybe coast the rest of the year and say play 500 ball and still be in a pennant race in September. It's huge just for the psyche of a team that came into this season wanting to play with the big boys. Well, here you go. I mean, 4 games at Citi Field. The Mets haven't played their best ball over the past week. The Nationals are getting healthier and getting better on paper. So, it's a big series for the Mets to, if nothing else, to go out and at least take a split and prove that they can play with these guys.
Right. I mean, that's sort of the two-part aspect of this, is that on the one hand, they are 4 games that count in a division race, and the Mets have gotten off to a start where they are division contenders. But there's also this sort of cultural aspect that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that Terry Collins has talked about, of building a culture of a contender. And so I wonder, how is he talking about this series to his club? Because it is sort of a challenge to some extent. Tony La Russa always said, if you give 100% every day, you can't give any more. And he was really big about, every series is big, we can't make one bigger. And so I wonder what Collins' message is about this series, where on the one hand, you don't want to make too much of it. On the other hand, it's going to be packed. It's going to be loud. And this is the team that theoretically they're most likely to be playing down the stretch.
Well, I don't want to be the one to break this news to you, Matthew, but I guess I have to. Terry Collins is not Tony La Russa. They are not remotely similar.
Much to your dismay as a beat writer, actually, but anyway.
and Terry, we talk about those soft factors and what matters and what doesn't. Terry does, he's not afraid to admit when a series is big, and he's already said that this one is big. And, more than just the Mets competing against a team that's been the cream of the crop in this division for the past 3 years or so, this is a team that just destroyed the Mets last year. They couldn't beat them. No matter what they did, they seemed to play their worst against the Nationals, and they seemed to bring out the best in Washington. And, their record at the end of the summer, if you take out the 19 games they played against Washington, the Mets were above 500 team last year. So it's huge from that aspect. You play a team 19 times and you just get beaten, you get beaten, you get beaten, you get beat. All of a sudden, it's human nature to start wondering if there's just something more to it, if there's something about this team that they're just better than you. And granted, this is a new year, and this is a new Mets team, and this is a new Nationals team, but most of the same players are on both sides. So, from that mental aspect, as much as from the aspect of these are 4 games that are going to count in the standings, it could very well decide the division at the end of the year. It's huge in all those respects, and it'll be interesting to see how the Mets respond.
We're not going to spend all 10 minutes previewing a series that starts about the time that this goes live, but I think there's one other thing I want to touch on here, which is the aspect of the crowds, Mets fans. I mean, Mets fans have been desperate to really believe in a team, but there's also this notion of sort of being a little gun-shy, and I got to think that there's some import just to kind of show them that they're not getting their hopes up for nothing. I mean, I know that's not what the players are thinking. I know they're not thinking we have to win this for the fans, but it seems to me that there is some level of importance to sort of bring this in, to make it so that this is a team people care about all summer, people come to cheer on all summer, that there's the kind of loudness and atmosphere that they want to have over the course of the summer.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always sort of been the chicken and the egg thing with that because, you know, fans have said, send money on the team and we'll come out and support you. And the Mets have said, come out and support us and we'll have more money to spend on the team. Now, of course, you know, the front office ends up winning that every time because they're the ones who actually have to write the checks. And not that they went on a spending spree this winter, but they did add pieces where they wanted to. The payroll has a little flexibility to go higher. And, you know, they've seen some early returns on the early ticket sales and the crowds they've been out. Now, I'm sure they'll have some nice crowds this weekend. But you're absolutely right. You know, if the Mets go out and, like I said, lose three or four of the Nationals and, you know, sort of skate along at that maybe a little above 500 and you know, do their thing for a few weeks, it's not going to be a great draw for fans to come out to the ballpark, which is a shame because it's a beautiful ballpark. It's a great place to watch a game. Now, if the Mets go out and win three or four or you know, go out and sweep the Nationals, all of a sudden you're looking at the best team in baseball again. And I can imagine fans are going to be going on their computers and buying tickets, and that's going to boost everything all summer long. And, you know, whether that translates into them doing things with the trading deadline, you know, forget about that for a minute. It's an awesome place to be, to play baseball when it's full. And it's been so infrequently over the past few years that we've seen it at Citi Field. You get that atmosphere at the All-Star Game a couple of years ago. You've gotten that atmosphere on opening day. You've gotten it sometimes for the Subway Series for the Yankees and for some other bigger series. But if the Mets could do that and become one of those teams that on a regular basis is drawing 35,000, 40,000-plus, you know, it's the players recognize it. And you know, for some of them, it helps them out. And it would just be a boon for them all summer long.
Watch this little segue here. If there's one player who would really appreciate that, it's David Wright. How close is he to being somebody who can be a part of this again and can be back out playing on the field?
You know, the optimistic take is that he could be there at some point this weekend. I really don't see it. I think they're going to be careful with him. I think, you know, we talked about this when he initially got hurt. David understands, finally, maybe for the first time in his career, the value of being conservative with injuries like this. And the Mets are looking ahead on the calendar. They have two off days. In a four-day span next week. So if they can just get to that off day, that first one without David, it makes a lot of sense for them to play another two games without him and, you know, essentially give him four extra days of rest while we're missing two games. So what that means, long story short, is that there's a good chance we won't see David Wright until next Friday in Philadelphia. And, you know, for the Mets, I think they see that as it's fine. They've built this little division lead like we talked about. You know, Eric Campbell got off to a nice start in replacing David Wright. He's tailed off a little bit. But if they can just sort of get by for another week without him and know instead of wondering if he's at 100% when he gets back, they can know for sure that he is. I think that would be a big boost for them. So while it's possible he can come back sooner, he could have a nice end of the week here, and you know, the hamstring feels great and all that. It's just sort of hard to see at this point, given the nature of the injury and how conservative the Mets hope to be with it.
Also from the injury file, some concern about Rafael Montero, and that wouldn't be that big a deal except for the number of pitchers the Mets are already down. What's his status? What's his situation?
No, he went back to New York to get his shoulder checked out. You know, at first blush, it doesn't seem like anything serious, but we've been down this road a million times. You know, Montero was a guy that they were hoping could do a lot of what he did the other night, and that's sort of come up for a spot start. You know, if another pitcher goes down, he's an easy guy to plug into the rotation. Not the highest ceiling of the prospects that they have, but he's the one who's ready now, who's clearly ready now. And while he certainly has a lot of room for growth, you know, he's a guy that they feel comfortable putting in the rotation at any point. So if he goes down, it puts them in a tougher spot when they look for ways to stretch out the rotation to give Matt Harvey and Bartolo Colon and everyone else, really, some extra days of rest. You know, Noah Syndergaard could be that guy eventually. Steven Matz could be that guy later this summer. But they're not quite ready yet. So we'll wait and see with Montero. We'll see what the news is. We'll see if it really is as nothing of a nothing as they say. And, you know, that could affect their plans for the whole rotation going forward, even if you assume Montero will only start a few times over the course of the season.
All right. Well, Anthony DiComo, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.